In a black star-sprinkled sky, we soar backward over Earth. As massive block letters of gold and silver orbit into view, we pass to the dark side of the planet, where the continents show the speckled, electrified glow of hundreds of cities. The Earth eclipses the sun, and the massive word hovers front and center. Universal, a Comcast company. Now, light from an open door spills into an eerie room where a chair and a book spin in the air. The door slams shut and a stringy-haired girl notices us. A flickering light bulb swings over words, forming a logo in the corner. BH Productions. As our view drifts over sprawling sand dunes, words appear from behind a mound. The image shrinks into the center of the screen, framing a logo. Platinum Dunes. Now, words appear over a span of pale white grid lines. America, 2023. Unemployment is below 5%. Crime is virtually non-existent, while every year fewer and fewer people live below the poverty line. All thanks to The Purge. Another word completes the title. Anarchy. The seal of the new founding fathers of the United States depicts a bald eagle clutching a rifle and a blunt weapon. March 21st, 4:34 p.m., 2 hours 26 minutes until the start of the annual purge. Fade to black. Now a hand drops a few dollar bills on a table. In a diner, a slender, curly-haired waitress approaches.
How is everything, Mr. Sabian?
Great as always.
Good.
You get home now, Eva. It's getting late. Stay safe.
Yeah, you too, Mr. Sabian.
A television plays.
Traffic is building rapidly downtown as citizens rush to get home before commencement. If you're not purging, we advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war out there.
Standing with colleagues, Eva glances at a woman in the kitchen.
Sabian's gone. That's it.
What is she waiting for? Why does this bitch let us go?
Hey, calm down. We got plenty of time. You girls up to anything fun tonight? I'm gonna kidnap Eva this year. Hope that's okay with you, Mommy.
Eva briefly smiles and looks away.
It's getting late. Hope to see you all tomorrow. Stay safe.
Okay, stay safe.
Finally. Stay safe, Miss Crowley.
As the others start to leave, Eva lingers by the counter, staring toward Mrs. Crowley.
Eva, need a ride home?
I'm fine, Carlos. Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Bye, Carlitos. Stay safe.
The other waitress's name tag reads Tanya.
If he has to take me home, I'd accept that ride, girl.
He's a dog.
Oh, I like that dog. I would whip the shit out of that dog. But that dog doesn't want anything to do with me. He wants to sniff your ass.
You're disgusting.
It's true. You're really going to ask her tonight?
I have to. I can't afford his medicine much longer.
All right, good luck.
Eva hugs Tanya.
Stay safe.
Stay safe, sweetie.
As her coworker leaves, Eva turns back toward her boss. In a sparsely decorated apartment, a brawny, dark-haired man with a strong jawline loads bullets into a revolver. The handsome, unshaven man spins the cylinder shut. He aims the gun with both hands, then practices shifting aim with just his trigger hand. He drops the revolver inside a small black duffel bag with ammo clips and other weapons. Grabbing an assault rifle, the man cocks it and takes aim. Lowering the weapon, he sits on the edge of his bed. The brawny man stares off reflectively, then looks to a framed photo of him and a young boy. Now in a car, a lovely brunette drives beside a young man with chiseled features.
Both the people and the government wanted the purge. The new founding fathers came into office.
Were voted.
The brunette turns off the radio. Glancing aside, the young man notices two people boarding up the front door of their suburban home.
I'm glad we took the back roads. You know, highways are probably a mess right now.
Yeah, be there in no time.
Holding a tablet, the young man swipes through happy photos of him and the brunette on various occasions. One shows them kissing. The brunette glances over.
What are you looking at?
He turns the tablet away.
Nothing, just, you know, stuff.
The young man stares off with a solemn gaze.
You okay?
Yeah. fine.
You sure?
You don't need to keep asking me.
They pass a woman setting a bouquet of blue baptisias outside her home. Elsewhere, a gray-haired man appears on a video billboard.
My name is Donald Tell. Our regime was voted into office 9 years ago, and the first order of business was to deal with the epidemic of crime that was plaguing this nation. The answer was the purge.
Now, Eva moves along a busy sidewalk. A man in a black wool hat calls out to pedestrians.
Need some protection tonight? Need something? Man, we run out of time. Hey, that purge tonight, y'all know what time it is. Hitting them in the face ain't gonna work no more. You need something powerful. How you doing, buddy? Hey, use your hands, man. Just use your hands.
He steps in front of Eva.
Hey, sweetheart, how you doing? How you doing? You gonna need some for protection tonight?
No, good.
The Uzi, Beretta?
Good.
Look, on a cheap. Or a blade to cut your man's throat, whatever you need. We take any kind of payment.
Clutching the strap of her purse, Eva crosses a street. She arrives at a metal grate door and grabs the handle.
Eva!
Hey.
Oh, girl, how you doing?
Leo, good. How you doing?
Yeah, everything straight?
No, it's not great.
Oh, well,
I'm tired.
It could be better.
I'm
take
tired.
Me up there with
good.
You tonight. Get a little protection,
I'm
you know what
cool
I'm saying? Come on,
go.
Now.
I'm good.
Now, a teenage girl watches an internet video of a bespectacled man in a dark beret.
We've lost our souls to attain this peace. We no longer worship at the altar of Christ, Muhammad, Yahweh. We worship at the altar of Smith and Wesson.
A title reads, Carmelo's Call to Action.
Not what we do.
Horseshit. Where'd you find this lunatic?
I saw his protest posters all around the neighborhood. He lives here, Papa. He's just like us. Now, shush, please listen. He's not a lunatic.
The purge is not about containing crime to one night and cleansing our souls by releasing aggression. It's about one thing. Money. Who dies tonight? The poor. We can't afford to protect ourselves.
That's enough. I can't listen to this crap. He's as full of shit as they are.
No, he's right. Come on, they're keeping the population down by getting rid of people like us to save money.
Talk is cheap, Kevin. You may be right, but he won't do anything about it.
Leaving Callie's bedroom, the aging man finds Eva walking through the apartment. Callie follows him out.
Hey, Daddy.
Don't hate Daddy me. Where have you been? Less than 2 hours until commencement, and you out gallivanting.
Gallivanting? I was picking up your medicine.
Even worse. Waste of time and money. Christ, Eva, I told you not to get this stuff. It does nothing. I'm not taking it.
You're taking your medicine. Yes, you are.
I'm not taking it. You're taking it back.
Really?
Can we stop?
The teenager glances between them.
Look, Papa, maybe it doesn't do anything, but can you just take it? For me?
The weary man regards Callie with a deeply troubled gaze, then nods.
Okay. We'll lock down, then we'll eat after commencement.
Hey, count me out. I'm gonna take a long nap, and don't bother me. I'm gonna try to sleep through this godforsaken holiday.
Eva and Callie regard him closely.
Look, I'm sorry I'm so grumpy, girls. I hate this night. Please, forgive me.
Eyeing her father, Eva shakes her head and grins, then gives him a hug.
Driving me crazy.
He kisses her cheek and steps back.
Make sure you lock down everything. I'll take care of my room. I love you both. Very much.
He kisses Eva's hand, then walks away. Looking to her wavy-haired daughter, Eva raises her brow.
That was weird.
It must be the night.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a quick shower, then we'll lock down.
Okay, wait, how did things go, Mrs. Crawley? Did you get the raise?
With her lips pursed, Eva lowers her gaze.
God, what a bitch. Well, did you at least make a good argument? Did you say everything that we practiced?
Eva nods and shifts her weight.
Sorry, baby.
The despondent mother walks off.
Yeah.
Turning away, Callie tucks her dark hair behind her ears, then stares off with a sullen gaze. In a store, the brunette from the car hands money to a cashier. The young man stands beside her, staring off.
I want to tell her, Shane.
As she takes her change, Shane walks away with a grocery bag. in a parking lot.
Hey, did you hear me? I said I want to tell your sister.
Yeah, I heard you. I just don't feel like telling her.
Why?
Because as soon as you say it out loud to another person, then it's irreversible.
Shane walks past the brunette.
Do you have the keys?
Yeah.
Handy?
Right here.
Can you unlock the car, please?
It's unlocked.
No, it's not.
There.
A man knocks into Shane. Wearing a hoodie and with his face painted white, a black cross adorns his forehead. More black makeup gives his eyes a sunken appearance. He peers at Shane, then at the brunette. Turning, the man glides away. Shane watches as the leering hooded figure skateboards toward a group near a small white delivery truck. A man wearing a chubby face half mask pumps his arms and howls at the sky. Another man stands nearby with a skull mask and a gaping mouth painted down his neck. A figure wears a fencing mask with a skull painted on it. Someone rides a dirt bike near the group. Standing by the delivery truck, a man looks over wearing a white mask with red lips, rosy cheeks, and the word God painted on the forehead. Shane stares, and the man in the God mask wiggles his fingers in a wave.
Let's just get in the car.
Shane climbs behind the wheel, and the brunette sits in the passenger seat.
What the fuck was that all about?
I don't know. He didn't tell me.
You know, we don't have a whole lot of time before commencement, Shane.
All right, we'll be fine. No problem.
Shane backs out of the parking spot. At dusk, an aerial view shows the city's mostly empty streets. In his apartment, the brawny man fastens a Kevlar vest over his chest. He walks to the door.
Yeah.
He opens the door to a blue-eyed woman.
I've been calling. Why didn't you pick up?
He looks past her to the hall.
What do you want?
Glancing into the apartment, the woman notices photos of a square-faced man next to a newspaper clipping reading, "Man walks free on prosecution error."
You can't go out there. You know how dangerous it is.
You need to leave. It's late.
Don't do this. It won't make you feel any better.
He looks down.
Go with your new husband and your new family. Leave.
He shares an intense gaze with the blue-eyed woman and nods. Reaching a hand to his face, the woman kisses his cheek.
Stay safe.
The blue-eyed woman turns and walks down the hall. Watching after her, he closes the apartment door and leans against it. Our view moves past him to the photographs of the square-faced man. In a shower, Eva slowly runs her hands up her face as the water cascades over her. In another room, a video plays of Carmelo.
Whatever happened to give me your needy? You're tired. Your huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
Callie types on a laptop.
The redistribution of wealth upward through killing has to stop. We must pick up arms.
She looks over at the video.
This year, we will fight back.
A red X crosses out a flag and the letters NFFA. In a bedroom, a hand places a folded letter on a pillow. Eva's father puts on a cap and checks himself in a mirror. Wearing a suit and tie, the old man steps from his room. He glances around before walking through the apartment toward the front door. Outside, Eva's father steps through the metal gate and looks over at a clean-shaven man in a black suit. The older man strides into the street, and the clean-shaven man steps to one side. Eva's father passes him, turns, and looks up. The clean-shaven man holds open the back door of a limo. The older man climbs into the vehicle. Driving on a highway, Shane turns to the brunette.
Jeez, that guy freaked me out. Did not see him coming.
I thought we decided it was irreversible.
No, you often decide things on your own and then pretend that they were a joint decision.
You often agree with me and then a week later say, I don't remember doing that.
So you're calling me a liar.
And you're calling me a bully. Just say you changed your mind, not that we didn't come to a joint decision. This is the exact...
Dropping her hands, the brunette stares out the window. Shane adjusts his grip on the steering wheel and shakes his head.
See, this is exactly why we need to tell your sister that we're separating. You're right, it'll make it real, but I think we need to make it real.
Maybe I don't want to make it real.
What the hell is that?
Power steering's gone.
What do you mean the power steering's gone?
I don't know. There's something wrong with the car.
Can you pull over?
I'm trying.
Past a bridge, the car comes to a shaky stop on the side of the road. Shane wrenches the key in the ignition.
Shit.
Try it again.
It's dead.
In a parking garage, a black sedan drives up an exit ramp toward a vertical door as it slides open. Covered in textured panels, the car leaves the garage and turns onto a street with the skyline of downtown Los Angeles in the distance. The well-armed, brawny man drives the armored sedan past a line of vehicles moving in the opposite direction. Unlit police-caliber floodlights adorn his windshield.
The sixth annual purge will begin in 45 minutes.
A handset rests beside the radio in his dashboard. In their apartment, Eva and Callie drop wooden barricades into slots over a metal gate on the front door. Walking into the kitchen, Eva returns to the table where she places a handgun.
Just in case.
Yeah. Callie takes in her worried gaze.
Hey. We're gonna be fine. Just like every year.
Eva forces a smile. Outside his car, Shane talks on his phone.
Please, look, I'll pay three times as much if you just come out
here. I don't care about the car. We just need a ride. It's fine.
Whoa, whoa.
Hey. Hello?
The brunette joins him as they try to flag down a passing car.
Stop!
Shit.
Please!
They walk back to their car.
Shane, we can't be stuck outside.
I know.
I mean, we're downtown. Everyone comes downtown to purge, Shane.
Hey, don't worry. We'll figure something out. I promise.
Is it coming from our car?
Crouching, Shane looks under the vehicle.
Oh, shit.
Dark fluid drips from a severed cable beneath the car. Shane and the brunette look up as the white delivery truck and three motorcycles stop on the bridge. Shane swallows hard. The man in the god mask steps out of the truck. He swings a machete, and the brunette stares with a slack jaw. The man in the god mask waves the long blade over his head.
He cut those wires, Shane.
Yeah.
The young couple stands. The masked man lowers his machete and swings it in front of his legs.
We need to run.
Yeah, go, go.
They run down the street as the masked man watches them go. Over the city, dark clouds obscure the setting sun. In their apartment, Callie watches TV as Eva joins her.
News 13 wishes anyone who is not participating in this year's purge a safe evening, and for those releasing the beast, a successful cleanse. Good luck.
Should I get Papa?
He hates this. Let us sleep.
This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge sanctioned by the U.S. government.
In the armored car.
Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge. All other weapons are restricted. Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity.
The brawny man turns off the radio. Large screens display the broadcast.
Commencing at the siren, any and all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours. Police, fire, and emergency medical services will be unavailable until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when the purge concludes. Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn. May God be with you all.
Shane and the brunette jog through an empty intersection. In her apartment, Eva shifts her nervous gaze and stands. Walking to the kitchen, she turns to Callie, who looks up from writing on a notepad. On a highway, city lights glimmer in the distance as the brawny man drives. In the city, buildings loom over dark, abandoned streets. An aerial view shows the sprawling metropolis dotted with lights. Now, a tensed hand grips a six-pack of aluminum cans. A stern-faced man carries the six-pack to the edge of a roof and raises a sniper rifle. He flips up the scope, then pops open a can. Glaring, the man aims his weapon. On a gravel path, a thin figure strides forward holding an axe. A shirtless man with the word pig painted across his chest peers out of a leather mask. On a road, a man leading a group restrains two leashed Rottweilers. A figure carries a rifle while another holds a machete and gun. Fire dances at the end of a man's flamethrower. In a tunnel, a school bus rolls by with guns aimed out the windows. Inside, burly tattooed men cock their weapons. Grinning at the back of the bus, a shirtless bearded man holds an axe. On a street, a tractor trailer emerges over a hill as a woman in a ponytail and a man in a puffy vest cross in front. The truck comes to a stop and the back door rolls up. A man in a plastic apron and baseball cap aims a machine gun out the back. Bullets rip through the man and woman and shell casings scatter. On the sidewalk, the two victims lie in blood near a low wall riddled with holes. The back door on the truck lowers and the vehicle drives off. On a road, car tires zip along a double yellow line. The brawny man drives past a dark figure beating a cowering person on the side of the road. On the road ahead, fire silhouettes someone near a parked car. Approaching the chaos, the brawny man stares out the front windshield at a group firing on the car. Flames rise from another parked vehicle. The brawny man makes a U-turn and his headlights illuminate a road sign, downtown Bridge Street. An aerial view shows a tractor trailer driving under an overpass as the armored car moves overhead. In an alley, Shane leads the brunette as they shuffle along a wall.
Come on. Do you think they're still after us?
I have no idea.
Okay, let's just get out of here.
A man falls from above. The brunette gapes. They emerge in another alley. They spot a small group running.
Here, get in this. Let's just hide in here.
Shane opens a dumpster and boosts her up. A bloody corpse lies inside. The brunette cowers and Shane pushes her away from the dumpster.
Let's just get out of here.
They run down the alley.
Come on, you're good.
They stop. Peering around the corner, Shane spots the masked gang near the delivery truck. The man in the god mask stands among the group.
Fuck, it's them. We gotta move.
They flee as the man in the chubby face half mask rides a dirt bike up to the gated corner where they stood. Blood mars his mask as he glances around. In her apartment, Eva cooks vegetables on the stove. Startled, she looks up. Behind Eva, Callie sets the table. Eva flinches.
Hey, I'm gonna go get Papa for dinner.
He said don't bother him.
Yeah, I just wanna see if he's awake.
Mom!
Eva hurries from the stove.
What is it?
Mom, come here.
What's wrong? Where's Papa?
Look at this.
Callie holds a handwritten note.
Dearest Eva and Kelly, my greatest heartache is seeing the two girls I love so much struggling in this world. I'm dying. You know this. I'll be a martyr for a wealthy family tonight.
We view a mansion.
They paid me for this service. $100,000 will be transferred into your accounts, my darlings.
Papa sits in a bright room.
Take their money. Survive the night and live a safe life. I love you.
Blessed be America, the nation reborn.
Surrounding him, a well-groomed family prays. Opening their eyes, they share satisfied smiles, then pick up machetes. Clear plastic tarps cover every surface in the room, where Papa sits with a stoic gaze. Back in the apartment, Callie shakes her head.
I don't understand. It's how the wealthy purge, baby.
They buy poor and sick people, and they take them into their homes, and they kill them where they're safe.
Oh, my God. It's just like Carmelo said. Why would Papa do that? I don't understand why he would do that. Okay, he must have left something that could tell us where he went. Like his phone. We should call his phone. We could stop him.
Callie.
Okay, that's fine. We can do something about this. I don't know what, but we can still do something
about
it.
Stop. He's gone.
Callie swallows hard. Her mother averts her grief-stricken gaze. Callie's eyes brim with tears and her lips tremble. Eva wearily brings a hand to her brow and shuts her eyes. The women turn. They rush into the living room. They peek out between boards covering the windows. The two women share a bewildered look, then try the bedroom windows. Outside, armed men in full riot gear file out of a truck.
What is this? Who are they? It looks like an army.
I have no idea.
Rubble flies into the living room.
Sam, no one can't be. They haven't even come inside yet. That was right in the other room.
Eva stares wide-eyed from a shadowy corner. In tears, Callie stands behind her.
Eva, I'm going to protect you. Protect you from me.
Where's the gun? It's in the kitchen.
Now, the brawny man's armored car travels along a deserted street. He gazes ahead intently, his thin lips pursed. His vehicle passes a figure lying sprawled in a pool of blood. As he moves through an intersection, a bus engulfed in flames speeds across behind him. At the apartment, Diego steps into the living room with a shotgun.
You hiding, bitch? Don't you know that you gotta be polite to people in this society? Because if not, this is what happens tonight!
Diego, don't come back here. We have guns and we will shoot you!
Kelly? Are you?
He heads back with a yellow-stained smile.
I got a little bonus. Got a little package deal. But I'll tell you what, tonight, I'm gonna release the beast on the both of you fucking lame bitches. It's my right granted to me by the newfound fathers.
Callie sobs against her mother's shoulder. His face shining with sweat, Diego arrives in the bedroom and regards the women with a smug grin.
Thought your little weak-ass protection was gonna keep me out or what, huh? Well, let me tell you something. Not with the birdcage buster. Saved up a lot of pennies for this bitch, let me tell you.
Diego, don't you hear there's people in our building?
Now, shut the fuck up! The only thing you gotta be concerned with is who wants to go first. Huh?
Leave my daughter alone. You can do what you want to me, Diego.
I will. Trust me when I tell you, I will. You better prepare yourself tonight, because tonight, it's motherfucking our bitch. That's right, because it's Diego's night. It's my night to motherfucking purge! My fucking time!
Elsewhere, Shane and the brunette run through a dark alley. They halt at an intersection, peek around a corner, and find three men shooting powerful guns. Behind the young couple, a figure approaches on a skateboard. Wearing the god mask, he steps off with a machete in hand. The brunette looks back at him, then runs off with Shane. More masked men peel out on dirt bikes. In Eva's apartment.
Every fucking day, you pass me by the hallway like I ain't shit! Well now, that shit fucking changes! I change shit!
I beg you, please.
Don't fucking beg, bitch.
Please.
You don't fucking beg. Beg!
Please, I'm saying please!
Don't touch my daughter.
Babe.
Please, leave
her
alone.
Man, you say please.
Standing close to Eva, Diego turns.
What's that? Huh? Is that your father? Is that your father?
Please, please.
I like that.
Please.
He licks her face, then turns to the door.
Come on, motherfucker! You want some too? Come and get it!
Where are you at?
Bullets riddle his doughy torso. As Diego collapses, Eva and Callie rush past him to a closet and shut themselves in. Two of the armed men in riot gear creep in. Eva leaves the closet door open a crack and peeks out. A mirror on the far wall reflects the men as they advance through the apartment. As they draw near, Eva closes the door and slips further back into the closet. Callie cups a hand over her mouth and squeezes her eyes shut. The women share a look. The two men find them.
This is what he was looking for tonight. Let's bring these two downstairs.
Big Daddy, we have two for your personal purge. Bringing them down now.
They drag the mother and daughter from the closet. The women struggle desperately, grabbing at the door frames as the men force them through the apartment. In the hall, sparks shoot out from a neighboring unit's door as the men emerge with their captives. Moving quickly, they drag the women along by their hair. Eva spies a neighbor lying dead in a doorway. Reaching the stairs, the men herd the women down. In the chaos, the captives glimpse bodies strewn across the lobby floor. In his armored car, the brawny man turns a corner. He stops at the sight of a dark, big rig parked at the far end of the street. Nearby, a woman rushes out of a building and flees. The brawny man cuts his headlights and drives forward at a crawl. The two men in riot gear burst outside with Eva and Callie. Callie grabs onto a street sign. Her captor throws her to the street. Watching intently, the brawny man brings his car to a stop.
Please.
Ahead, the two men drag the struggling women toward the big rig.
Just drive.
Back on her feet, Callie swings her elbows at her captor, but he holds her fast. Leaning forward, the brawny man sets a handgun on his dashboard. One of the men knocks on the big rig's rear door as the brawny man looks on.
Just fucking drive.
No, please, I'm like, gotta go! Callie!
No! Fucking! Mom!
His gaze hardening, the brawny man takes his gun from the dashboard and kicks his car door open. He keeps his gaze locked on the struggle as he shuts his door. He cocks his assault rifle, then slings its strap around his neck. The brawny man scans his surroundings as he tugs up the collar of his coat. As he marches toward the struggle, Shane and the brunette race around a corner behind him. The brawny man pauses at a corner. The young couple runs through a gap in a fence and hides behind the armored car. At the truck, the big rig's rear hatch rises and the women stare. At the car.
They were right behind us. What the fuck is that? What do we do?
Shane tries the door.
It's over here.
Ahead, the brawny man pauses behind a tall hedge, peeks out, and readies his rifle. His gaze hardening, he nods to himself.
No!
On the street, the mother and daughter continue to fight their captors. The brawny man steps out from hiding. Advancing on the big rig, he shoots the men holding the women. He draws a handgun, races over, and shoots one of the men beneath his protective vest. A man opens fire from a sidewalk. The brawny man takes cover, then shoots him in the neck. Emerging, he finishes off his foe. Inside the trailer, the aproned man with glasses steps into view. The brawny man shoots him. In the car.
What is going on out there?
We're safe. We're in here. We're good.
In the street, the brawny man sweeps his surroundings with his weapon ready. In the trailer, Big Daddy lies motionless. Glancing down at the women, the brawny man finds them staring up at him from all fours. He shifts his sheepish gaze, then turns and walks up the street toward his car. Pausing, he runs a hand over his short, dark hair. He sighs, then faces the mother and daughter and gives them a nod.
Let's go.
Eva and Callie get to their feet, then follow their savior up the street at a brisk jog. Arriving outside his car, the brawny man opens his door and finds the young couple cowering in the back seat.
Get out of the car, or I will shoot you.
Callie notices Big Daddy getting up.
Wait, we have to go.
The brawny man sees Big Daddy standing at a tripod.
Shut up! Hands up and shut your mouth!
Please, Eva, Callie, and the brawny man get in. Nearby, the white delivery truck turns into view.
Shane?
What?
Masked men on motorcycles flank their lead vehicle.
They're coming.
We gotta go!
The idling white truck lurches into motion. Big Daddy activates a high-tech device mounted on the tripod.
Shut up!
The brawny man accelerates, driving his car toward the big rig. The white truck and motorcycles advance at high speed. His face bleeding from a bullet wound, Big Daddy fires his high-powered machine gun. The armored car turns as bullets bounce off its shell.
Shooting at the motorcycles, they're turning!
Banking sharply, the white truck and motorcycles head back up the street. Big Daddy glares, the wound glistening on his cheek. In the car.
They're not following us. They're gone. They're all gone.
You sure?
Yeah. There's no one there.
Are you okay, baby?
Yeah, I'm fine. And you?
Yeah.
Sir, are you okay?
You. What was that army doing in your building? Why were they after you? Why were they after you?
I don't know.
Why are you in the streets?
Our car just broke down.
We don't want to hurt anybody.
Are you armed?
No.
Hey, well, what about you? What were you doing outside?
The rearview mirror reflects the brawny man's eyes as they dart in Callie's direction. In the front seat, Eva faces him warily. In the back seat, Shane and the brunette shift their comprehending gazes. The driver faces the road, then turns his head. At a corner, a woman stands soaked with blood. With wide eyes, she watches the car pass, her slim arms at her side. Eva stares with a horrified expression.
Oh, God. Look, Mom, it's okay. Okay, we're safe now.
No, I'm not.
Sir, where are we going? Honestly, anywhere but here is fine with me. Just...
A thick pillar of steam juts out from beneath his hood.
And you know where.
Callie lifts her head and her jaw drops woefully. The jetting steam fills our view through the windshield. Later, Shane waits tensely while Callie peers out with an anxious expression. In the front seat, Eva folds her hands and shakes her head. Outside, the car's bullet-riddled engine fills our view. Facing it, the driver drops the hood. He starts to slap it with both hands, then stops himself and puts his hands on his hips. Going back to his door, he opens it and leans in.
Whoever's in that truck was using armor-piercing bullets. The car's dead.
So that's it. We're stuck outside on Persian. What are we going to do? Can we just hide in here? We have 7 hours until morning.
There's hunters out there with dogs. Sooner or later, they're going to find you. But you do what you want. You're on your own now.
What do you mean we're on our own?
I should have never gotten involved. It's none of my business.
Okay, but you did, so it is your business now, all right? So what are we all going to
take
do?
This. It's loaded. Take it. Take it.
Just giving us guns?
He zips up his duffel bag and takes it from the trunk.
Where are you going?
I got somewhere to be before the sun comes up. I can't take you with me. You'll slow me down.
We won't slow you down.
So you're really just going to leave us here?
Stay off the streets. Find somewhere to go.
Please take us with you. We are not the kind of people who will survive tonight.
Let him go. He doesn't want to help us.
Shut up.
What do you want me to do?
Why did you save us if you're just going to leave us here to die?
Please help us.
Wait, I can get you a car.
The brawny man halts.
I have a friend in the city not far from here. I've worked with her for years. If you get us there safely, you can take her car and do what you have to do.
Where does she live?
Susan Bryant.
She give me a car?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure.
He gives her his cell phone. Eva steps away. He slings his assault rifle over his shoulder as she dials a call.
Hey, it's Ava. Trouble. We're on
That was a real dick move, you know. Walking away and then coming back.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, we'll be there really soon. And listen, I need your car as well. I'll explain when I get there, is that okay?
What are you looking for?
Snipers.
Following his gaze upward, Callie and the young couple put their backs to the wall.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Eva returns the phone.
She lives with her parents. They're happy to have us. If you can get us to her place safely, the car is yours.
Can she help us too?
Yeah.
Just give me the car.
Eva answers with a small nod. The brawny man smiles.
All right, I'm gonna help you get to your friends, but I want that car.
I know.
All right, you listen to what I say. You stay close, you slow me down, I cut you all loose. You understand?
Yeah.
He gathers his things.
Okay. Let's go.
Leaning his assault rifle against his shoulder, he leads the group down the alley. Behind them, the abandoned car sits with its doors open. At the end of the alley, the dark big rig pulls into view. Now, as we approach a street corner, we peer up at an austere-looking building across the street. A shooter on the roof uses a megaphone.
I'm doing God's work. He uses an earthquake, a virus.
The group pauses out of her view.
Population under control, the masses nourish and flourish. I am that virus tonight. I am a one-woman fucking plague, and you're all in my path! I am the fatherfucker, son of a bitch, and holy shit! Come and get
I move, you move. Understand? Stay close, don't stray. Okay?
Yeah.
And my MP9 silver-tipped auto magnum, the right arm of the free world and the left hand of God! No.
The brawny man leads the group across the street at a run.
We're gonna go down 5th. Your friend's building is close. Go through the business district. Stay away from the gangs downtown.
Eva turns. At an intersection, a man runs into view. He collapses. As Shane watches fearfully, the masked bikers surround the fallen man. The brawny man cautiously positions himself to shoot. The white delivery truck pulls up by the bikers.
Stay back, stay back.
The truck's rear doors swing open. Two hooded men haul up the wounded man. As the group watches, the men load their victim into the truck.
What are they doing? Where are they taking him?
It's not our business.
Those are the guys that were after us.
It's not our problem. We're going to have people in front of us, and we're going to have people behind us. As long as we move, we'll be fine. We're going to cross banks.
No. That's a long way. It's going to be much quicker if we go down here.
As Shane steps off the curb, a cable snaps around his leg, pulls him off his feet, and drags him to a stop.
What is this?
Stop! Get off of me! I'm stuck!
It's a trap! We don't have time! Move away! I gotta shoot it! Move away!
What?
You're gonna what? I'm gonna shoot it! Move!
What?
Okay.
A sniper shoots from a window. The brawny man fires back.
Shoot it! Shoot the cable!
A man in a knit cap attacks. The brawny man shoots him down.
Shoot it!
Several figures run down the street.
Shane! Hurry up!
Get up!
A sniper fires from overhead. The brawny man shoots him. The approaching figures cross the nearest intersection. Shane shoots the trap, freeing himself.
Move!
Okay, let's go!
The group turns down a narrow alley. A bird's eye view locates the fleeing companions. An illuminated digital billboard shows a timer with a patriotic logo labeled NFFA.
There are 6 hours remaining in this year's...
A video disrupts it.
The NFFA pigs are wrong. They're fucking wrong.
Carmelo appears.
Profit making is not the essence of democracy. Wake up, people. Wake up. It's time to take a stand. Tonight, we write our message in blood. Their blood.
Now, we take in a deserted street. The brunette gazes ahead.
So quiet here.
This district's always quiet on Purge night. The banks move their monies. No one's ever down here. Let's go.
Holding his rifle across his chest, the brawny man leads the group down a broad sidewalk. He passes a dark alleyway, checking it cautiously.
Stop.
The group leader proceeds with a wary gaze. Back with the others, Shane glances around.
You know, we don't even know your names. I'm Liz, and this is Shane.
Ava, my daughter Callie.
nice to officially meet you on this shitty night. Is anyone else kind of curious about this guy?
I'm just glad that he's out here with us.
Yeah, me too, but we all got stuck out here and he chose to be. That means he's purging.
Hey!
Let's go.
Are you saying that we shouldn't trust him? He saved our lives.
All I'm saying is that he's out here, armed to the teeth on purge night voluntarily. That means he's trying to do something nasty.
I can hear you.
Sorry. Just go.
Taking up the rear, Shane glances over his shoulder. They pass a building with large columns.
Hey, you doing okay?
Yeah, I can be fine.
You wanna go talk to him?
Kelly.
What's your name?
Kelly looks the brawny man over with a curious gaze.
You're good with guns. I'm guessing you're either a cop or a criminal, huh?
I'm guessing you're either a pain in my ass or a pain in my ass.
You're out here to do it, aren't you? To purge, that's what you have to do later on, right? What are you gonna do?
Stop. New rules. You shut up. All of you, shut up.
I'm gonna stop talking because you're being an asshole, okay? Not because you told me to shut up.
Kelly.
As Callie starts to move ahead, he pulls her back.
Okay.
She looks up at him apologetically. The group pauses, staring up at the bloody body of a suited man chained over the building's entrance. Shane reads a sign.
Here hangs stockbroker David Neustadter. Stole our pensions, now he's gone.
As the group moves on, Shane's stare lingers on the dead broker.
Maybe David deserved it.
Liz glares at him.
This is Benjo.
As they follow the others, our view drifts beneath the body. The dead broker's head droops forward. Now, a camera stands mounted on a high outdoor post. Turning a corner, the group finds figures lying sprawled in the street.
The hell is that?
Ahead, a truck's headlights illuminate a cloud of mist.
Is that tear gas?
Smoke canister. Stay close, stay close, stay close.
As Liz passes a shadowy doorway, a man with a bloody face lunges out and grabs her. The brawny man pulls the assailant off of Liz and pins him down. He wears a protective vest.
We're just doing our duty.
She okay?
Scared the shit out of me.
You're okay.
The bloody man goes still.
Look at his uniform. This is one of the bastards who came into our building. And that looks like their truck.
Stay here. Stay here.
Inside the truck, a flat screen shows a battle.
Truck 3, come in.
The brawny man cautiously checks beneath the truck. At the base of a tripod, he finds a pile of large bullet casings.
Come in, please.
Come on, let's go, let's go. Just stay together. Let's go.
The group joins him.
Truck 3, please respond.
Go check the cab, see if this thing's working. Stay alert, stay alert.
Climbing in back, he helps the women inside.
Go ahead, go, 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 go.
This is some high-tech shit.
Callie eyes the equipment.
You know, somebody spent a lot of money trying to do some heavy-duty purging. Look at this, they're accessing the city's traffic cams.
Looking for targets, I guess.
Traffic cams are controlled by the government. How did they get into these? I mean, who are these people?
Maybe you just answered your own question.
Look at this. 7th Street. Is that your building?
Yeah, but why is it all red?
You're being targeted for something along with all these other buildings here. Here, all over the city.
All around the projects. Maybe you're right, Kelly.
Look, I'm telling you, this is the new Founding Fathers. The government...
The truck is fucked.
No good?
No, the engine's all blown out or something.
Kelly leads them through the trailer.
Hey, look at this.
A stenciled logo.
That's Carmela's mark, Mom. I told Papa he was the real deal. His group took these fuckers out.
Everybody got a weapon.
At the end of the street, a truck pulls into view.
Hey, grab this. Take the weapon. Go, go. Go,
oh,
go.
Shit, there's another one. Second Army, come on.
Yes, go.
They leave the truck and duck into an alley as the big rig approaches. The group runs down the narrow, shadowy alley, weapons in hand. In the lead, the brawny man halts the others at a corner. A fiery light flickers in the street beyond them. The group members put their backs to the wall, watching the brawny man as he peeks around the corner. In the street, a van burns as armed men stand by. A Molotov cocktail hits a truck. A man crouches over a sprawled figure, stabbing its chest repeatedly. The brawny man looks away and notices a subway entrance a few yards off. As Liz waits anxiously, a rat approaches her boot. It jumps up her leg. The stabber pauses, looking toward the alley. Liz's companions stare at her as she cups a hand over her mouth. The brawny man hands Eva his rifle. He glances toward the street and raises a finger to his lips. Stifling a frightened sob, Callie presses both hands over her nose and mouth. Shane glances at Liz nervously. His back to the wall, the brawny man gazes toward the street. Exhaling tensely, he narrows his eyes and gives an anxious sneer. As the stabber arrives, the brawny man wraps him in a chokehold and pulls him back. The assailant struggles, but the brawny man maintains an unshakable grip. His companions watch slack-jawed. The stabber's eyes close and his arms drop limply. The brawny man lowers him to the street. Taking his rifle back from Eva, he peeks around the corner and finds the armed men leaving. He glances back at the others.
Come on.
He leads the group to the subway entrance at a brisk pace. Now, a flashlight beam cuts through the darkness of a subway tunnel. The brawny man shines it straight ahead as he leads the others. Holding her weapon ready, Liz scans the darkness fearfully. Shane sweeps their surroundings with a wide-eyed gaze. Eva swallows hard, then heaves a brave sigh. Walking beside the leader, Callie regards him with a cheeky look. He cracks a smile.
Hey, why'd you stop at our building? Why'd you help us?
Didn't we establish a no-talking rule?
People are getting killed all over the city. Why'd you stop for us?
I saw you. You were putting up a hell of a fight. It reminded me of someone.
Who?
Watching the exchange, Eva shifts her uneasy gaze.
Look, purging, no matter what the reason, is wrong. Killing doesn't help anything. It doesn't heal someone.
Enough. Go back with your mommy. Go.
Eva reaches out and pulls Callie back. The brawny man leads them onward. He slows to a stop, his gaze softening. He sets his rifle and flashlight on a platform. Behind him, Eva looks around tensely.
There's no air in here.
She grits her teeth and inhales sharply. Shane and Liz stand by with uncertain looks as the brawny man removes his bulletproof vest.
Come over here. Put this on.
I don't need that.
Put it on, I said.
I said I don't need it.
Put it on.
The leader helps Callie pull the vest on over her head.
What's wrong through here?
Eva looks on appreciatively. Her daughter stares off with a sullen pout.
Now hopefully you won't need it. Let's move.
Shifting her weight, Eva follows him. The leader sweeps their surroundings with his light.
What was that?
Shh.
In an alcove, a few vagrants cower in a makeshift camp.
There's no threat. They're just trying to make it through the night. Keep moving.
Following hesitantly, the mother and daughter look toward the vagrants. Eva exhales heavily and brings a hand to her brow.
Hey, you okay?
I just want to get out of here.
Taking up the rear, Shane looks back and touches Liz's arm in a reassuring gesture. Lights illuminate the wall on one side. The brawny man halts and looks back. Pairs of headlights turn into view, trailed by a fiery glow.
Shit.
Two vehicles boast mounted guns.
Go, come on.
In a dune buggy, a man with long, shaggy hair shoots a flamethrower. The vagrants flee their camp.
Run! Move!
A man on an ATV clubs a vagrant with a baseball bat. Another killer fires at the people running ahead. As a vagrant lags behind, Bullets riddle his torso. The dune buggy runs him over. Eva stumbles and falls in the gravel. Turning, Callie rushes back to her. Behind them, the shaggy-haired man aims his flamethrower at a vagrant and sets him ablaze. The brawny man loops Eva's arm around his shoulder.
Up.
He lifts her off her feet and carries her. Looking back, Shane finds the killers closing in.
We're not gonna make it. Fuck it.
Letting the others go on without him, Shane fires on their pursuers.
Shane!
Just shoot.
Taking cover in a concrete nook, the young couple shoots at the oncoming assailants. A bullet strikes Shane in the shoulder. Wincing, he sinks down. The brawny man lays Eva onto a platform. With Shane and Liz.
Oh my God.
I'm fine. Just keep shooting. Go.
Liz shoots at the killers. Shane forces himself up and fires as well. A ricocheted bullet strikes the dune buggy's driver, and the vehicle swerves. A bullet hits the flamethrower, and it explodes, engulfing the men in fire. The ATV crashes into the inferno, near a station exit.
All right. Okay.
The brawny man takes his rifle from Callie.
Stay here, give me this.
I'm so sorry.
Eva spots a wound in the brawny man's leg.
You're bleeding.
I cut it on the platform. It's fine.
We'll help you. Just tell us.
I said it's fine!
Crouching, Eva faces Callie with wide eyes.
Get up.
Standing, Eva catches her breath and stares off.
What's taking us so long?
The darkness offers no sign of Liz or Shane. The brawny man swallows hard and lets his gaze drift to a nearby stairway. Liz staggers into view, supporting Shane.
Help! He's been shot. I have no idea how bad.
She lays him down, and the group surrounds him.
Open up.
We're gonna be fine, okay?
Call your friend.
All right.
Tell her we're close. Okay. We're gonna get him up, okay?
Fine.
Look
Shane.
At me.
Shane.
Look at me, Shane. Yeah? One, two, three. Get him up.
As the group hauls Shane to his feet, Eva makes a call. On an illuminated billboard, a timer ticks down.
There are 4 hours and 30 minutes remaining in this year's purge.
Go, just don't worry.
The group sprints down a deserted street. Taking up the rear, the brawny man glances back.
Keep moving. Go.
Straight up ahead. Come on. Callie. Slow down.
A bird's eye view shows dark buildings surrounding the lamp-lit street on either side. The brawny man helps Liz support Shane. Turning, Eva points.
Look, that's her building. She said to meet around the back.
They approach a tall brick apartment building standing on the corner. As the group jogs toward it, a mounted camera focuses in on them. On the freeway, two big rigs drive.
We have a target match on the civilians who attacked truck 2.
A bird's eye view shows one truck splitting off from its partner at an exit ramp. Now, a lamp-lit doorway glows in a dark alley as the group arrives.
She sent me this around the back.
Eva leads the others to the door.
Come on, hurry up.
The off-duty waitress herds the group in and shuts the door. Later, the brawny man tends to Shane's wound.
Bullet went right through.
Eva and Tanya watch from the other side of a lovely apartment.
I can't believe you guys went through all that stuff. It's just insane.
Tanya drinks wine.
Get him to the hospital first thing, after this is over. You'll be okay. It's gonna hurt like a son of a bitch, but you'll be okay.
I can't thank you enough.
What'd you get for being a hero?
Wiping blood from his hands, the brawny man gives the couple a good-natured smile. Liz cleans up gauze and rags. Standing, the brawny man turns to Eva.
I need the car.
Come on, everybody, eat, drink.
Yes, I recommend drinking. It's the best way to get through the evening. And the food is delicious. My mother's a wonderful cook.
Thank
My
you,
sister's
honey.
A testament to that.
The hell does that mean?
She's a good cook. That's...
You know, you didn't have to go this far. Just having us here was really enough.
You guys have had a terrible night. Get some food in your system and we'll get through this together.
Tanya offers wine to the guests.
Oh, good. Callie,
I can't believe nobody's drinking with me. What about you, tough guy? Want a drink?
No, thanks.
Okay.
You're really going back out there?
The brawny man looks over his shoulder at Callie.
Oh. Relax, it's my father and my brother-in-law. He's a super. They were just checking the building. It's all good.
Everyone, please don't mind my husband's clothes. He's not purging. He just thought it was a crazy idea to go out and see what's happening tonight.
Yeah, I chickened out. No way I was going out there. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
Thank God he came to his senses. I mean, look at him. He would have been the laughing stock of the neighborhood.
In fatigues, her scrawny husband nods.
That's not very nice, Lorraine.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean for it to be mean. It's not mean, it's just true.
How's everything, Daddy?
It's all good, baby. Building's locked down and good. It's quiet. I see you had a rough go of it, my friend.
Yeah.
Relax. Make yourself at home. You're safe here. We are anti-purge in this household.
Speak for yourself, Daddy.
What does that mean?
I can think of a couple situations where purging could be the answer.
Like when?
I'm not telling. I'm just saying. Don't piss me off, bitch.
Please excuse my daughter.
Oh, it's fine.
And please, if there's anything else you need, just ask.
I could use a clean shirt.
Down the hall, second door on the left. Top drawer of the bureau. What's mine is yours.
As the brawny man heads back, Eva eyes him and accepts a glass of wine from Tanya.
Okay, excuse me, too. I'm going to go to the little girl's room because this wine is going right through me.
Come on, everyone, please, eat and drink. Come on, honey.
Stepping into a hallway, Eva faces a mirror and gazes at her reflection. In a bedroom, the brawny man sets his handgun on a bureau and pulls off his blood-soaked T-shirt. Pulling on a clean one, he pauses and turns. Across the room, a partially open door shows Tanya pouring pills from a prescription bottle into her hand. She pops them in her mouth, then gulps down her wine, massaging her throat as she swallows. The brawny man watches with a concerned look as Tanya shifts her troubled gaze. In the living room.
This is News 10 reporting on a lively purge night across the country. We have riots in East Los Angeles, as well as record participation in Pittsburgh.
He wasn't lying. Shit hurts.
Wincing, Shane shifts in his seat.
Just get the shit out of me. I thought I was losing you.
A smile twitches at Shane's lips, and he ventures a look at Liz. She stares off with a troubled frown.
But I still think we should tell your sister.
Shane averts his wounded gaze. Liz gives a mischievous, mirthful grin.
You're an asshole.
I'm sorry.
That's not funny.
I'm sorry.
No, I got shot.
Oh, are you going to use this excuse for the rest of our lives?
Well, at least the rest of the night.
Okay.
All right, people, let's change the atmosphere up in here. No more Persian news. No more nothing depressing. Let's put on some music and let's just liven it up a little bit. Right? Come on. You want to dance?
As Tanya leans over her brother-in-law, Lorraine steps away.
The party. Come on. Let's dance.
The brawny man joins Eva.
Look, I gotta go. I need the car. You trust these people? Because your friend likes to drink and she's taking pills back there.
Yeah, she's pretty wild. But we'll be okay. She's a good friend.
Well, you don't want to... What? Lorraine, do you care if we dance? She doesn't even care. She's not even paying attention. He's...
I don't know how to thank you.
Okay. If you can just tell her I need the car right now, that would be really great.
I know what you're doing tonight. You're going out there to kill someone who wronged you. You believe in this night, don't you?
I think you should just take care of your daughter. She's special. And you're very lucky. And I need the car.
Eva gives a sad nod. Lifting her chin, she shakes her head.
There is no car.
What?
I'm sorry, they don't have a car, but we needed you.
And I needed the car.
I did what I had to. I did it for my daughter.
I was doing this for my son. And I trusted you. You have no idea what you might have taken away from me tonight.
Glowering, he leaves Eva, pulls on his jacket. Callie approaches him.
okay? Look, I know you're angry with my mother, but I really think you should just stay here. Yeah. Just wait out the night with us, okay?
She regards him gently as he takes up his rifle.
I heard you say that you're doing it for your son. Yeah, I don't know him. I'm pretty sure he did not want you to do whatever it is that you're going to do.
All right, Callie.
Please, come on. You're safe here.
Lorraine steps into the living room with a handgun. She takes aim.
Get back!
Lorraine shoots Tanya in the chest. Her mother tries to wrestle the gun away.
Lorraine!
Help! What are you doing?
Eva creeps toward Callie.
Tanya! Tanya!
Lorraine beats her mother back and runs.
What are you doing, Lorraine?
Jesus Christ, she's dead.
You killed your sister. She's your sister, Lorraine. What are you doing?
You know what I'm doing. I read all your emails, you cheating motherfuckers. You both deserve to die.
She shoots at her husband.
It's okay, Lorraine, stop.
He takes Liz hostage.
Get back. Back up.
No.
I'm sorry.
Lorraine. No.
You shoot me, you shoot this woman.
Just let her go.
You don't want to do that. Lorraine, I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything. I didn't mean it. She hasn't done anything to you. Okay? So let us cut this out.
Fuck you. This is my right granted to me by my government.
The brawny man shoots Lorraine's husband.
Leave him alone. He's mine!
Lorraine fires at the group leader. Shane shields Liz.
Go in now. Go.
The brawny man provides cover fire.
Door! Go! Door! Now!
Scowling, Lorraine shoots back at him.
Move!
The leader escapes with his group. On the floor, Lorraine's wounded husband grimaces. Tanya lies dead. Her father looks up.
Go!
Callie rushes down a stairwell with her mother and the group close behind her. They stop on a floor.
I can't believe Tanya's dead. What do we do now? Where do we go?
Eva shakes her head, then looks to the brawny man. He nods firmly. With a distressed gaze, Callie watches him step aside and begin to pace along a hallway. Shane winces in pain. He looks toward the brawny man, who anxiously checks his watch, then pounds his fist on the wall. He faces the group. Eva nods knowingly. He glimpses his watch again.
Are you going to leave us now?
What?
Are you going to leave us now?
He glances among them. Clutching his assault rifle, he takes a few steps away and promptly returns. He checks the time again. They all turn.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
Shh.
How'd they find us?
Stay here. Don't move.
The brawny man hurries down the hallway and cautiously proceeds through a building exit. He peeks around a corner, then creeps through the shadows alongside a brick wall. Coming to another bend, the brawny man aims his weapon as he moves ahead. Inside, Eva and Callie stare after him.
Do you think he's gonna come back?
What do we do if he doesn't?
Outside, he finds Big Daddy with over a dozen men.
Come on, guys. Let's go, okay? We don't have all night. I want this building surrounded. He's here. I know it. And I want him. Understood? He shot me. He shot half my team. I want him dead.
Inside, Callie rests her chin against her mother's shoulder, then runs a hand through her own hair. Liz stands behind Shane.
Come on. And I want the two women he saved. They're mine. I want them alive.
Eva hugs her daughter as they stare toward the exit.
Please come back.
They found us. Move fast now. Come on.
The brawny man leads them out into the shadowy alley.
Move now. We have 30 seconds. Move over the fence. Fast. Now. Go. Fast. Come on.
The brawny man watches the building corner as Eva helps the others over the fence. He turns to Eva.
Look at me. You go. You get over that fence. You run. You don't stop. You run for your life. Do you understand? You don't fucking wait for me. Go.
He helps Eva over, then ducks beside a dumpster as men round the bend. Approaching the exit, a man turns on a handheld metal-cutting chop saw. The other two men in riot gear stand watch as the first one cuts into the door. The brawny man remains hidden, glancing toward the fence. Brilliant sparks spew outward from the saw. Big Daddy's men start inside. Stopping, the last man turns to scan the dark alley, his gun at the ready. He looks in the brawny man's direction, then follows his cohorts inside. The brawny man steps out and quickly hops over the fence. As he crouches by his weapons bag, a dark-clad figure bashes him. Another kicks him in the ribs. Two members of the masked gang carry the dazed man into the delivery truck, then close the rear doors. Now, we glimpse the disturbing masked faces of two assailants through grainy motorcycle-mounted views. As we share the brawny man's blurred perspective, the eerie man with his face painted white and a black cross on his forehead peers down at us. The eerie man puts the barrel of his rifle in Eva's face, illuminated by a gun-mounted light. Sitting close by, the man in the god mask watches the captive group. A masked cyclist rides alongside the truck. Inside, the eerie man points his rifle close to Shane, who holds Liz against him. They both keep their terrified gazes averted. Glancing between her captors, Callie looks to the man in the god mask.
How did you find us?
The man in the god mask tilts his head, his eyes hidden by the shadowed sockets of his mask. Callie stares back at him. Lifting his mask, the young man shrugs at her.
We got lucky. We was roaming around out there all night, picking up the people who got away from those badass trucks.
He smiles.
We get their scraps.
Why haven't you just killed us already?
We're not purging tonight. We don't need to kill anyone.
Shane looks over.
Just need money. Right, bro?
He looks to his eerie accomplice, then grins at Callie.
Money!
Callie closes her eyes.
Let's go!
As the masked gang forces them out, armed burly men in black suits and ties emerge from a building.
What the fuck are you doing to us?
Run me my money, man. Let's do this.
What are they doing?
One of them hands over a wad of cash.
Let's go! Move!
As the masked gang closes up the truck, the burly men force the captives into the building. One aims his submachine gun in the brawny man's face. Hands raised, the brawny man smiles at him, then follows the others inside. The brawny man's burly escort shoves him into a wall. In a dark space.
Get on your knees. Get on your knees.
Along with others, the five of them kneel in a line. Callie looks around.
Where are we? What is this?
Shh. If you move or speak, you will be shot.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next batch is just arrived.
A curtain opens to an upscale ballroom full of formally dressed people. A man in a tuxedo plays piano. Standing at small tables adorned with champagne flutes, the well-dressed attendees joyfully gaze upon the frightened captives. Three men clink their glasses. Wearing a royal blue gown, an elegant older woman takes the stage.
What an impressive plot, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, since this is the last purge of the evening, the entry price will be $200,000.
Standing beside a blonde woman, a middle-aged man lifts his glass.
Mr. Lockhart and his wonderful wife, Lauren. Fantastic.
Two young brunettes raise their hands.
The Hanover sisters! Ah! I've been waiting all evening for your participation. Fantastic. And I assume you brought your signature blades.
The sisters nod.
All right, one spot left. Anyone else? Mr. Hurst! Oh! Wonderful. And will your handsome sons be joining you? Ladies and gentlemen, this will be Charles and Tom's first.
The brawny man glares.
I am so happy that you have this to share together.
Callie stares fearfully.
Oh, and one last reminder. The weapons rack is stocked with the latest and the greatest. And my personal favorite is the Mauser Elite SSX double barrel. It has a delicate trigger and the smoothest discharge. It is so precise. It's as if God handcrafted it himself.
Eva shakes her head.
Well, that will do it. Purgers, please suit up. Good luck. Good luck. We'll see you shortly on the hunting grounds.
The burly guards shove the captives away as the curtain closes. They proceed through a corridor with blood-streaked walls. Through double doors, they force Callie, Eva, and the others into a large, darkened area.
Get in there!
The doors close and a spotlight shines down. The other captives split off.
Stay close to me. Follow me. Move.
Dim lampposts turn on.
Down.
The group of five hides behind a short wall.
What is this?
Being hunted.
Pairs of neon green lights emerge from the darkness. Each with a set of glowing goggles, the purgers enter the hunting grounds. The Hanover sisters twirl their shiny machetes. One of the older men eyes his long-barreled shotgun. A Hurst's son cocks his automatic weapon. Some of the other affluent guests watch from a skybox window. Joining hands, the purgers form a circle.
Blessed be the new founding fathers for letting us purge and cleanse our souls. Blessed be America, a nation reborn.
All right, they're here.
The purgers head separate ways. Tom and Charles pound fists. Lauren follows her shotgun-wielding husband. Hedges, shrubs, and small freestanding concrete structures break up the dimly lit arena. A fountain stands at its center. Smiling, the elegant woman and her peers look on. The brawny man glances over the wall.
They're coming. And they got night vision. I gotta take one of them down if we can't see we're dead.
No, we should come with you.
No, I need you to stay back.
I'm scared.
I'm coming back. Stay here.
A bloody body lies nearby. Leaving the others behind the wall, the brawny man creeps past a statue circled in shrubs. He watches a purger walk past the fountain. He sneaks along a fence. The brawny man pauses, then stealthily continues on. He ducks around a concrete pillar and takes cover. He spots a man fleeing toward him. A gunshot blast propels the fleeing man through a hedge. The brawny man hustles to another structure. He crouches low as a Hurst son meanders by. The brawny man tackles him to the floor. The brawny man knocks away the purger's gun and elbows him. The purger gets on top and brutally swings his fists. Rolling over, the brawny man pounds the purger's head on the floor several times, then snaps his neck. The skybox observers stare in shock. The other Hurst son fires at the brawny man. Bullets strike a concrete wall as the brawny man dives over it. The purger peeks over the wall to find the captive gone, then steps to the other side and aims. As he turns, the brawny man grabs the gun, flips the purger down, and shoots him. The brawny man snatches a pair of goggles off the floor and puts them on. In his night vision view, a glowing figure brutally stabs a body. A red light shines in the corner of his high-tech display with the words, Live View. Wielding a submachine gun, the brawny man glances at a dead body, then alertly stalks through the hunting grounds. The brawny man looks around, the lampposts radiantly glowing in his view. A Hanover sister pops out, swinging her blades. She knocks away his gun and he headbutts her. He deflects the other sister's attack, then bashes them together. He punches one in the face and throws the other into a wall. Jumping on his back, a sister bites his neck. The brawny man bangs her against a pillar, throws her off his back, and slashes her with a blade. The skybox viewers watch in horror. Kneeling over her, the brawny man takes a pistol from her waistline and removes her goggles. He turns with the pistol aimed, then retrieves his submachine gun. As the other sister crawls toward him, he aims. She falls. He notices the skybox window and opens fire. The guests shy back as bullets riddle the reinforced glass. The brawny man makes his way back through the hunting grounds, rejoining the other four behind the short wall.
You okay?
Fine. We got two sets of eyes now, okay? Put those on. Took out four of these fuckers. There's three left. It's loaded. You point and you shoot.
Liz peeks out with the goggles.
Someone's coming right at us.
Light him up.
She and the brawny man gun down Mr. Hurst. Liz looks around. In her night vision view, two figures flee the arena.
They're going.
They're all gone. They're leaving.
Go, get down.
Is it over?
The brawny man looks to the skybox.
Stay down.
We need help right now. They've killed five people. They've killed five of us.
The words system failure reflect in reverse on the skybox glass. The overhead lights come on.
What's that?
Doors open at the far end, and burly guards charge in. Wielding a variety of firearms, the guards take position throughout half of the arena opposite the hidden captives. Eva and Liz glance over the wall, then turn with grave stares.
There's a whole fucking army. I don't have any more bullets.
Liz sets down her pistol. The guards scan the arena. Eva turns to her daughter.
It's only him, baby.
Out of here. You make him earn it.
Eva and Callie nod. Shane holds Liz's hand.
I'm sorry. For everything. I love you. I need you to know.
Bullets riddle Shane's chest. The brawny man fires at the entrance behind them, causing the guards to retreat.
No. Wait. Okay. Come on.
Callie and Eva sadly watch as Liz grabs at the lifeless man. The anguished young woman pulls Shane upright and hugs him against her. She rocks him back and forth. Liz cradles his head as she sobs. The brawny man puts a hand on her arm. The skybox observers exchange looks of panic. In the blood-streaked corridor, a flashbang erupts near three guards. A dark-skinned man in a sleeveless vest approaches them with a rifle. He lowers the weapon. It's the hunted man saved by the Sandin family during a previous purge. More men stand behind him. The viewers leave the skybox. The dark-skinned stranger bursts through the entrance near the captives.
Take positions over there. We need a firing line. Go!
More and more men pour into the arena. One shoots a burly guard. As his men take position, the stranger kneels beside the captives.
Who the fuck are you?
Nobody special. Just some people who don't necessarily agree with the purge is all.
Callie notices a patch on his vest.
We are with Carmelo Johns.
Yes.
Fuck the new founding fathers!
Carmelo enters.
Fuck you! Fuck your money! And motherfuck the purge!
Carmelo! We're over here.
The bespectacled leader joins his comrade by Callie and the others.
I know you. You once said that the market mentality will no longer keep the American people stunted. We are outraged and we're fighting back.
Nice to meet you too, young lady.
There's a lot of them out here.
Yeah, well, there's more of us. We're more pissed off. It's time for them to feel what it's like. Change only comes when their blood spills.
One of Carmelo's men shoots another man.
I want to get out of here. It's about to get nasty.
The brawny man kneels beside Liz.
Stay with me. Hey. We gotta go. Look at me. He's gone.
I want to purge.
Look, we'll take care of her. You sure?
Carmelo nods.
Go. We got it. Come on.
Callie looks to Liz.
I'm sorry.
Liz stares off distantly as Eva gives her a kiss on the head. Holding Callie's hand, the brawny man leads her and Eva through the arena. Callie grabs two pistols among the dead bodies. Carmelo's comrade offers Liz a gun.
Here, take it.
She takes the pistol, her cheeks wet with tears.
Get ready to bleed, rich bitches! This is our time now!
Carmelo and his comrades fire their weapons. Spanning the width of the room, the resistance fighters advance on the guards. Carmelo takes position near the central fountain, flanked by several others. In a parking structure, the brawny man aims his gun at the driver of a departing vehicle.
Get out of the car. Leave the keys and get out of the car. Get out of the car!
The elegant older woman steps out.
Oh God, no, don't shoot me.
Look
no,
at me.
No, don't shoot me, please.
You don't deserve to live, you piece of shit. You remember me. Okay?
No.
Now run. Run! Run! Faster!
The brawny man joins Eva and Callie in the luxury SUV. Its clock reads 6:13.
Look, it's almost over.
No, there's still time. I can make it.
Looking away, Eva shakes her head.
I can make it.
There isn't much time left in this year's purge. Get out there and make yourself better citizens. God be with you all.
Now they sit parked in a neighborhood.
You want to tell us what we're doing here?
The brawny man stares through the windshield.
You see that house on the corner?
They look to a two-story home with a partial brick exterior.
The owner of that house killed my son 12 months ago. Nicholas. Was coming home from school, and he swerved off the road. That bastard's blood alcohol level was 3 times the legal limit, but you know, he got off on a technicality. So, him and his wife and his 2 little kids, well, they live in that house. Happily ever after.
Eva sheds a tear.
2 weeks ago, I came here and I disabled his back barricade. That's what we're doing here.
His eyes reddened. Nicholas's father stares at the corner house.
I want you both to stay in this car. Do you understand me? I don't want you to move. You'll be safe. No, it's almost over.
Don't, please.
I called my own.
You can just stay here with us and we can drive away and it'll be fine.
Let go of my arm.
No, please. I know. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about what happened to your son.
Let go of my arm!
Callie flinches back. Eva looks away, her eyelids fluttering. Nicholas's father stares at her firmly.
Stay in this car.
The vengeful man steps out with a submachine gun at his side. Eva watches out the front windshield of the car. With a stony expression, the brawny man looks back, blood smeared on his ear and neck. In the car, tears streak down Eva's face. Nicholas's father carries his gun toward the sunny house. In the car, Callie closes her eyes as a tear runs down her cheek. Leaning forward, she covers her mouth with her hands. Viewed through a window pane, the vengeful man opens a door. He tightens his lips as he works at the windowed second doorway and carefully slides it open. In the dark house, the intruder sets his gun on a couch and he takes off his jacket, revealing his bloodstained t-shirt. Wielding his rifle, the brawny man steps toward a kitchen. Glancing around, he reaches for a kitchen drawer and opens it. He looks down and leaves the drawer open as he steps to another. He opens a second drawer, checks it, and walks to a kitchen island. In a third drawer, he finds a dagger. Taking the knife, the brawny man walks across the kitchen and steps through a doorway. In another room, a TV blinks to life, depicting a sunny hillside with trees. On a bed, a woman with crimped blonde hair sleeps on her side. The square-faced man from the brawny man's photographs lies beside her. Lips slightly parted, the intruder looks down. A shadow moves across the sleeping couple as Nicholas's father approaches the sleeping man. The woman stirs, and the intruder aims his gun at the man beside her.
Hey.
He punches the man.
No! Don't talk! Shut your mouth. I'm not here for your kids. I'm here for you.
He grabs the man.
No.
Aiming at the blonde, the intruder hurls the man to the floor. He grips the blonde's hair. He clutches the man's neck, then turns to the blonde.
You get on your stomach. Lay down. Flat.
He holds the dagger to the man's face.
Okay. Look at me. Look at me. Okay. Look at my face.
Okay.
You remember me? Look at my face. You know what you took from me?
I know.
Do you know what you took from me?
I know.
You took my boy. You took my boy. You took my fucking boy.
I'm sorry.
You took my son. You killed my son. You son of a bitch.
He slams the man down, looming over him with the dagger.
No. Look at me. Look at my face. Did you see him when you hit him? Did you see him? Tell me what he looks like. Tell me what he looked like. Tell me what he looks like.
I'm so sorry for what I did.
Tell me you saw his face. Tell me you saw his face.
I saw
him. You're going to pay for what you did to me. What you did to my boy.
Oh, please.
Did you finish?
Viewed from the front lawn, slatted barriers cover the windows of the house. A barrier slides up to reveal the front door, which cracks open. Outside, blood coats the intruder's neck and cheek as he leans his head back with a weary expression. Holding his gun, he walks across the front lawn. Bullets rip through him and he falls backward. The brawny man's hand lies limp on the ground. He blinks rapidly and shifts his gaze. Past his boot, a male figure wearing khakis and holding a pistol strides up the sidewalk steps. Nicholas's father closes his eyes and rolls onto his back. Standing over him, Big Daddy takes off his sunglasses. A bandage sticks to his cheek.
We found your car, Sergeant. Your plates told us who you were.
The brawny sergeant looks up through squinted eyes.
It was easy to see where you were headed tonight.
He gives a weak grin.
Hell, I would have done the same thing.
Bending forward, Big Daddy leans over the man.
There's an unwritten purge rule, Sergeant. Don't save lives. Tonight we take lives. We make things manageable for us. Unfortunately, the citizens aren't killing enough. So we supplement it all to keep things balanced. It's important work the NFFA does, and we can't have any interference. Can't have heroes. Oh, no, sir. No heroes.
Hovering over him, Big Daddy stands up straight.
I hope you feel cleansed.
Big Daddy takes off his baseball cap.
Blessed be America.
He aims a gun.
A nation reborn.
A bullet pierces Big Daddy's forehead, spurting blood. Aiming a pistol, the square-faced man emerges from his house. On the street, gun-toting operatives in protective armor react. Eva and Callie climb out of the SUV. The square-faced man steps through the front door as two operatives creep along the sidewalk. On the brick sidewalk, the sergeant lifts his head. Eva and Callie run toward the house. On the lawn, the square-faced man stares at Big Daddy's body and kneels by the wounded sergeant. The armored operatives approach, and the square-faced man aims his pistol at them. Callie and Eva emerge, pointing guns. The operatives lower their weapons. With wide eyes, the square-faced man lowers his pistol, and Eva and Callie do the same. Setting his gun on the ground, the square-faced man looks at the sergeant as Eva and Callie run up the sidewalk to join him. Noticing the sergeant's wounds, Eva kneels beside him.
Okay? On three. We're gonna pick him up. One, two.
Three! Come on!
Eva and Callie lift the wounded sergeant and wrap his arms around their shoulders.
Hurry up and get that car!
They support the brawny sergeant as they walk. In an SUV, the square-faced man drives to the curb where Eva, Callie, and the sergeant wait. Eva opens the back door and runs to the other side as Callie leans the wounded man against the vehicle. The sergeant climbs into the back seat.
Hospital's not far. We'll be there in a minute.
Come on, just hit it! Go!
Eva and Callie sit with the sergeant between them. Eva strokes the wounded man's hair. Callie looks at him with a sad smile.
You did it.
He grins weakly.
You saved us. Just please just let us take care of you, okay?
He takes Callie's hand with his blood-stained fingers. He holds the girl's hand to his chest. Eva nods. The SUV veers around a red sign reading, Emergency. The square-faced man parks outside a building near two ambulances and gets out. As Eva steps out, Callie runs around the vehicle to join her mother. Blood soaks the sergeant's t-shirt. He lifts his head to the sun as the two women help him out of the car.
It's over. It's over.
Eva and Callie walk with the wounded man. In the distance, smoke rises from the city.
Just after 7 a.m. March 22nd, and the annual purge has just concluded. This is your American Morning News program. The reports are coming in from all around the country.
Words appear over a dark blue grid. March 22nd, 7:09 a.m. 364 days until the next annual purge. Now, titles appear over choppy, patriotic, and violent purge-related imagery. Written and directed by James DeMonaco. Citizens put out blue baptisias. Produced by Jason Blum, PGA. A father teaches his young son to shoot a gun. Produced by Michael Bay, Andrew Form, Brad Fuller. Produced by Sebastian K. Lemercier, PGA. Executive producers, Jeanette Volturno-Brill, Luke Etienne. Director of photography, Jacques Jouffre. Production designer, Brad Ricker. Edited by Todd E. Miller, Vince Filippone. Frank Grillo, Carmen Ejogo. Masked gang members stare menacingly. Zach Guilford. Hands load a gun. Blood soaks a dollar bill. Keely Sanchez. Zoe Soule. Surveillance footage shows horrific acts of violence. Edwin Hodge. And Michael K. Williams. Justina Machado. Jack Conley. John Beasley. Castulo Guerra. Noel G. Costume design by Hala Bamet. Music by Nathan Whitehead. Casting by Terry Taylor, CSA. A Universal Pictures presentation. A Platinum Dunes, Blumhouse Why Not production. A waving American flag with various weapons forming the stripes becomes blood red. Fade to black. Credits roll. Cast: Frank Grillo as Sergeant. Carmen Ejogo as Eva Sanchez. Zach Guilford as Shane, Keely Sanchez as Liz, Zoe Soule as Callie, Justina Machado as Tanya, John Beasley as Papa Rico, Jack Conley as Big Daddy, Noel G. as Diego, Castula Guerra as Barney, Michael K. Williams as Carmelo, Edwin Hodge as The Stranger, Keith Stanfield as Young Ghoulface, Roberta Valderrama as Lorraine, Nico Nicotera as Roddy, Belle Hernandez as Catherine, Lily Knight as Mrs. Crawley, Jasper Cole as Homeless Man, Brandon Keener as Warren Grass, Amy Price Francis as Mrs. Grass, Vic Sabatian as Mr. Sabian, Matt Lasky as Bloody Faced Man, Wiley B. Oscar as Oscar, Nicholas Gonzalez as Carlos, Chad Morgan as Janice, Judith McConnell as Old Elegant Woman, Adrian Sparks as Suited Gent, Rick Chambers as TV Newscaster Number 1, Amy Paffrath as TV Newscaster Number 2, Dale Dye as New Founding Father, Carla Jimenez as Deranged Woman, Brad Drake as Posh Father, Rowan Alexander as Posh Mother, Roger Schuler as Posh Grandfather, Michael Thurman as Posh Son, Branton Box as Bouncer, Brennan Phoenix as Paramedic, Stunt Coordinator, Hank Amos, Stunt Co-Coordinator, Thayer Harris, Leo Stunt Doubles, Clay Cullen, G. Grant Jewett, Danny Downey, Eva's Stunt Double, Claudette James, Callie's Stunt Double, Natasha Hopkins, Liz's Stunt Doubles, Mandy Kowalski, Helena Barrett, Shane Stunt Double, Kyle McLean. Stunt performers, Alina Andri, Kevin Arnold, Jason Avina, Tammy Baird, Joanna Bennett, Nick Brandon, Jared Burke, James Churchman, Norm Compton, Tim Connolly, Stephen Conroy, Alima Dorsey, Jared Ito, Jonathan Erickson Isley, Jeremy Fitzgerald, Joey Freitas, Kylie Furneaux, Chris Gann, Jason Gray, Adam Hart, Terrence Julian, Antal Kleek, Henry Hank Kingy Jr., Mike Kirtan, Dustin Kidd, Sean Lane, Jeremy Marinas, Rob Mars, Mike Massa, Brandon Mullally, Mickey Mulgrew, Casey O'Neill, Eddie Perez, Denny Pierce, Liddell Preston, Derek Pritchard, Debbie Rondell, David Rowden, Todd Schneider, Cale Schultz, Tim Sitars, Bobby Talbert, Tori Vogel, Nico Woulard, Stunt Razor Driver, Kyle Woods, Stunt Quad Driver, Joe Dryden, Stunt Flamethrower, Thomas DuPont, Stunt Homeless No. 1, Theo Kypri, Stunt Homeless No. 2, Sly Lewis, Stunt Homeless No. 3, Alice Ford, Stunt Homeless No. 4, Rex Reddick, Stunt Homeless No. 5, Natalie Padilla, Stunt Bouncer No. 2, Nico Nedyakov, Stunt New Bouncer No. 1, Hardy Odwajay, Stunt New Bouncer No. 2, Jim Palmer, Stunt Tuxedo Gunman No. 2, Mike Mukatis, Stunt Tuxedo Gunman No. 3, Danny Widenens, Stunt Tuxedo Gunman No. 4, Kenny Alexander, Stunt Hanover Sister No. 1, Tammy Baird, Stunt Mexican Thug No. 1, Esteban Cueto, Stunt Mexican Thug No. 2, Chris Campos, Stunt Mexican Thug No. 3, Joe Ortez, Stunt Mexican Thug No. 4, Richard Nunez, Stunt Bouncer, Paul Lacovara, Stunt Riggers, Andrew D. Cesare, Don L. Lee, Jose Vasquez, Alex Schonauer, Associate Producer, Philip Daw, Unit Production Manager, Luke Etienne, First Assistant Director, Vincent Lacombe, Second Assistant Director, Christophe Lechenu, Production Supervisor, Don J. Hug, Post-Production Supervisor, Stephen Kaminsky, A-Camera Operator, Jacques Jouffre, A-Camera First Assistant, John Connor, A-Camera Second Assistant, Garrett Curtis. Rack 'em Up, written by Matthew Corbett and Mike Wilkie. Key Sierra Saber, Canta Mi Corazon, Ana E. Saoko, written by F.R. Machuca. Performed by The Countdown Singers. No Me Reganes, Buscando Ambiente, written by F.R. Machuca, performed by The Countdown Singers. My Twilight Dream, written by F. Chopin, performed by Piano Lounge Players. Our Souls Were Clean, written by Chip King, Lee Buford, performed by The Body. America the Beautiful, arranged by Christy Carew. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animals were harmed. This picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Copyright 2014, Universal Studios, all rights reserved. Universal Studios is the author of this motion picture for the purpose of copyright and other laws. The characters and incidents portrayed and the names used herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person or entity is entirely coincidental and unintentional.